everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, and joining me today is Carrie Gilbert. Carrie has been in banking for the last 12 years. When she moved to Oklahoma, the bank she was joining had just had their BSA officer quit, and they promised her that that degree in criminal justice meant that she would love BSA. She's been doing BSA ever since. And 5 years ago, the small bank that she was with was acquired by Blue Sky Bank. The bank decided to move into the cannabis landscape 3 years ago, and it hasn't stopped growing since. Welcome, Carrie. I am so excited today as a fellow BSA nerd. I am super excited about this conversation. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. So, let's just start off. What do you think about the guidance as far as what banks are required to do to bank marijuana businesses?
The guidance is very dated. What we have to go on is from 2014, Valentine's Day, 2014. Vinson came out with some guidance that said we can bank MRBs, marijuana-related businesses, and still remain compliant with our BSA obligations. And to do that, we need to do a lot of due diligence. We need to make sure they're not implicating any of the Cole memos, and just really know our customer.
So if you were in charge, what would you like to see as the future landscape as far as that guidance goes? What do you think would actually benefit both MRBs and BSA officers?
If the state regulations could align with federal regulations, that's where it's super confusing. If I talk to people and I'm like, oh yeah, we bank marijuana. That's illegal. It is illegal on the federal level. In the state I'm in, it is legal medicinally, not for adult purposes or recreational purposes, but for medicinal uses. So that's where it gets a little questionable. So yes, doing that, because it is illegal federally, we have to do a lot of due diligence. We have to do a lot of reporting. And it's just a lot of work.
And so you guys have been really deep in cannabis banking for about 3 years now. How have you seen more customers come on, like, as you've grown? Has it been kind of an exponential growth with your MRB customers?
Yes, it definitely has grown, and maybe not so within our state, but we bank it all over the United States. So we do have cannabis customers who are not happy with the current bank they're at. They're well-established customers. For some reason, they didn't like the price point or whatnot, so they have come on board over here. And it has grown, and I think we just have fantastic people in our cannabis department. We really work well together. I think they work well with the customers. So
that was my next question, is because you guys are such a hub for cannabis banking, what does your staff look like? Maybe versus how many staff versus how many customers you guys have? Do you have any idea about the amount?
Okay, first off, I can give you a ballpark. I would say maybe around 250 customers. And our staff, we have 3 cannabis risk people. What they do. This is all they do. Mm-hmm.
So can you kind of walk me through the onboarding process of a new cannabis customer? What's those extra due diligence steps that you guys are taking when you're onboarding these new customers?
First, they have to apply. We will not take just, hey, come on board. That's not going to happen. They have to apply. And in the application process, we do ask a lot of questions. We want to know, what exactly are you selling? We need to know that completely, who owns you, where you're located at. Where, if you're located here and you have a business over here, like how many locations you have and which one's actually doing, you know, the business portion of it, like with the marijuana present at it. we ask, oh my goodness, we do like all the negative news background on everybody, and we have to verify and cross it off if something pops up, you know, was this you, was this not you, you know, explain to us what happened, and we verify everything.
How long does that process typically take for an average cannabis customer for you guys?
For them to apply, I'm really not sure, because they apply, and then if we decide to go forth, then we ask for all this documentation.
Yeah. And so I guess that's the part that could vary.
We go through all the documentation. We have them attest to, you know, they won't violate any Cole memos. We make sure they understand what they're doing. And they, do you have legal? Do you have accounting? Who do you have that's going to be doing this type of services for you? Who are your vendors? What can we expect?
That's really great. And I know I have worked in Tennessee, and it is not legal except to grow the hemp. Mm-hmm. And you have to distinguish between the cannabinoids of what we can sell. Mm-hmm. And so many banks just flat out don't. And so I know that one thing that they really look for is, well, and one thing that, especially any of my banks that have been in states that it's not legal, is if they are banking them, is doing those site visits to verify. Are you guys going out or doing site visits if you're banking across the country too?
Yes.
How does that look?
There are vendors who will do the site visits for you with pictures. There's everything. Is there an ATM on the property? You know, who services that ATM? Who has access? They will ask for everything, and they take pictures. So that way we have it. Has anything changed on, you know, is there a new name on the outside of the building? We went to a banking and cannabis seminar up in Washington, D.C. a few times. And there's all sorts of vendors there who are for this business.
Wow. That's really cool. And I do, like I said, being in states that it's not legal and working directly in those, I know that there's a ton of our listeners out there that probably don't even know that that's an option, that there are vendors out there that would help with that. So that's really great to know. Another question, what does your typical review periods look like for them? Because I know in regards to the SAR, just the basic SAR filings, mm-hmm. that's got to be such a heavy workload for you guys to carry.
Yes. Go through looking at the transactions. Do they match up? How much of it is going, you know, from this vendor, whatnot? Is the vendor they're working with, are they legal? Are they registered? Especially if it's like a dispensary, purchasing it from a grow, well, is that grow registered? Are they legal? Are you doing business legally?
So if you do stumble upon someone getting something from a grower, are you passing that baton to the customer to verify that information to supply you with?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Can you please explain on this what this transaction was?
And so if during those reviews, when they onboard, you get a list of their vendors. As they go through and as you're doing your reviews, when they pop up with a new vendor that you don't have on your list, how are you guys taking that list and comparing? Is it just like a side-by-side comparison? Do you have a program helping with that?
A program, like we have certain people who this is what they do, or
okay,
we have a platform that we use where we can just ask the customer questions and it'll go into their email and then they can answer it, and then we communicate through that. But we do look side by side. We look at their history. We have an amazing staff who this is what they do.
Right. That's awesome. And so are you looking at them on a monthly, a quarterly basis? What does their review schedules look like?
They have to submit their metric report. Mm-hmm. So that is a monthly thing. And then on when it comes for the SAR reviews, then it's, you know, the 3 month period. So that's as a whole. So it's just this constant review cycle with all of them.
And so you guys have three people. And then in addition to that, do you have additional BSA employees working on not just the cannabis banking?
Yes. And we actually have a position open right now as well. So, yes. So that's going to be me. And then my supervisor helps with at the moment.
Awesome.
Until we get that position filled.
And so do you think that your degree in criminal justice, do you think that that has kind of helped you as you've journeyed through BSA? I'm just curious how the thought processes of what you learned with that versus putting things into action.
What I studied in criminal justice was not accounting or white collar crime.
Right.
But it's interesting to see how it all works. I just wanted to study sociopaths. that part doesn't really align, but just the whole sense of justice that I have, like, mm-hmm. in me, like, people need to follow the rules. You just need to follow the rules, like everybody else. That definitely helps, I guess, in this position. So I'm like, follow the rules. And now it's follow the money. Follow the rules, follow the money.
Yes. And so your time as a BSA officer, especially with having that sense of justice, how do you feel that that has kind of trickled down into your departments and into your banks? Because that's something a lot of compliance officers struggle with, is that culture of compliance, because it takes the front line, it takes everybody to help with BSA. And so I'm just wondering how you've seen that kind of trickle down, because I do think that when you have a BSA officer that is passionate about the rules and what we have to do, that does give a sense of purpose to your frontline and your employees, especially in the BSA department as well.
On that, to me, it shows a bigger purpose. So, and for example, marijuana. Mm-hmm. With us banking it, it is taking money off the streets that would otherwise be circling in an unsafe manner. Employees carrying around 80 grand in a bag in their car, or a mom and pop just carrying around this large amount of cash. It helps with just general security. So that I think is, I think it's really good. We have a lot of illegal stuff going on in Oklahoma, and I'm like, that's just stuff out there on the streets. You know, at least this way it's safe. It keeps people safe.
Right. And I mean, growing up, I'm in rural West Tennessee, and growing up, there was so much going on, like you said, that wasn't regulated, wasn't mandated, none of that. And towards the end of when I was in college, there was like a huge fentanyl thing where people were lacing things with. And so just from that perspective of all of that, being able to, like you said, provide a safe product, I think is just so important. And the fact that banks can play a role in that is great. Not only the security of having such a large amount of money and cash, but also as far as a product that is safe and controlled. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's really great that banks, that you guys can offer this to so many customers and be able to manage it from a bank perspective, because it is such a huge undertaking to be able to correctly manage and bank marijuana related businesses. Have you guys gone through an exam cycle since you've been in the cannabis landscape?
We have been, yes. We've had the state come in and mm-hmm. they have looked at us. We haven't had our federal regulator come in yet. That will be next year. So yes, we have had one.
Good. And never, and I just feel like they would come in and be utterly impressed is what I'm thinking, just from what you've described so far and everything that you guys have are doing. I feel like they would come in and be like, oh, wow.
I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I mean, I was pleased with it.
Good. Good. Well, that's always the first step is, do you feel good with the results? Because I know that you're probably.
Well, it's hard because no one knows what to do. We're all writing this 3-page document. Here you go. Okay.
Yes. I am hoping that as time goes on, that FinCEN will kind of, once we get beneficial ownership information ironed out, I really, really hope that they come back to kind of beef that up, because you're right. The amount of guidance that there is available is minuscule. I've sat on several, it's like I said, just cannabinoid banking, and it's all just very brief and hard to discern, and there's so many examples that aren't touched on. I really do hope that soon that they can beef that up because again, it will help banks be able to offer the security to their customers of being able to somewhere safe to have their money.
Well, and maybe they can discern what information is valuable to them because they want all the reports. So we're giving them just, here's all the reports. There you go. Some of them, I mean, you wouldn't be filing these reports on them if they were any other customer.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what they're seeing as valuable and what they're, so if they can come out with some new regulations of whatnot, some sort to kind of narrow in what they really want to see.
Right. Because it's almost like they weren't sure what they needed, so they just said, give it all to us.
Yes. And I apologize to the examiner when they hear it. I was like, I'm sorry, there's a whole bunch. Happy reading.
Yeah. But I mean, it shows that you guys have, you have a process down on what you need. Your employees, this is their job. Mm-hmm. And they have, it seems like you guys have perfected it. How in depth do your procedures go? Are they pretty intense?
They're step by step.
Yeah.
There is a lady who has created just beautiful procedures. Like click, okay, now do this. Click.
Yes. And so I just feel like that's a huge key part to any area of a BSA program has been procedures. And I feel like, because that's one thing that I've worked with one bank that does bank MRBs, and the Fed came in last year, and that was the very first thing that they wanted was, what do your procedures look like? And because a lot of banks, they'll read the guidance, they'll say, okay, well, we'll do A, B, and C, and then that's all that they say that they're doing, and they don't have it, those step-by-step procedures written down to clearly identify everything that they need to do and that they are doing. And
so generic, so yes. and interpretive. So with that, it kind of, okay, this is what we're doing, and this is what we say we're going to do, and there we go.
Yes.
Anybody can pick up on it, and okay, we can start doing this.
That is so great. Well, hopefully, I do think, this is my last question, but I would love to know, are you involved in any BSA specific groups or organizations that or resources that you have found beneficial, especially with MRBs, that you would like to share with our listeners?
I don't know how to ask that. We do have a very knowledgeable lady on staff, and she worked for another bank who banked or a few other banks that banked it. So we had someone coming in with like a lot of history as well, who knew this.
That's great.
And just meeting people at, when we went to that conference in DC, each year. It's like we go and we meet people and it's, have you had an exam? What did they say about it? You know, what can we, that's like the first thing. Have you had an exam yet? And who's your regulator?
Yes.
Because we want to know and we help and then we can email each other later on.
That is great. And like you said, that there's those vendors there too. And then not only that, you're leaving with the network of people that are also banking marijuana. So that's really great. And on Banking Matters, we always like to wrap up with one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners with.
Ask the question. Don't be afraid to ask the question. And that's just across the board in BSA. Just ask. You know what? We're providing them a service. Just ask.
That is great. And I've seen banks that they're frontline, they're scared to ask. And then I've seen banks where they ask everything with no shame, as they shouldn't. Because like you said, we are providing a service and we're required to maintain a level of due diligence. And we won't know unless we do ask. I think that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carrie, so much. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.